News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Good morning. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt. If you have questions for Rick Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers, you can give us a call or a text. 1-877-332-8255. Of course, Rick on the line with me this morning. Rick, how are you?
Well, a little confused, but you know it's the time of the year, right?
Yeah, it's that that weird time change now that everything is on the satellites and the automatic changing. It's a weird morning.
Yeah, no, I was up a little earlier and I was bugging you, Erin, this morning, panicking. So how come snowing? How come we're not getting on the air?
I had that panic too. I woke up. It was probably like I thought it was 7:30. It was 6:30, but I didn't realize that until I ran into the kitchen to grab a coffee and saw the microwave and was like, okay, guess I'll just watch a bit of TV.
Yeah. So if you're up early watching, getting ready for Garden Talk an hour early, well, you've had your coffee and now you're ready to get going.
And we are, it's hard to believe, we're basically halfway through March now.
Unbelievable. Spring is coming so quickly here. You know, I'm just over by Blackstrap Lake, and basically the last of the fishing shacks are going off this weekend, so that's the time of the year you need to get it off there for anything south of the Yellowhead Highway. So, spring is here. So, you know, Erin, this time of the year, now you're going to notice also in all the stores, you're going to see the spring bulbs out.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically tells you it's time to get planting your spring bulbs.
That's the official kickoff.
Especially the kickoff. You know, a lot of people are buying the seeds. Seeds just going out of the door like crazy, and all the seed stands everywhere. And now the bulbs are out. So now if you want to plant your lilies, your oriental lilies, it's now the time to get things going with those, because if you want them to bloom this year before the end of August type of thing, you need to get them started in a pot right now. So, you know, there's always the famous stargazer that's always out there perfectly with the brilliant colors that it comes out to. But there's a whole bunch of different other varieties. If you like a black lily, there's like Secret Kiss. It's perfectly black.
Wow.
And then, of course, the opposite is Casablanca, which is a beautiful white one.
That could be a cool mix.
So that could be a cool mix. But then if you're getting into, you want a really like a double one, you can get into the Rose Lily Samantha, which is a pink interior with a white frill edge to it. And it's a double. So it's multiple blooms. So it's multiple petals in it. So it's really double. And then, of course, in the lilies, if you like growing in a pot, okay, we have to bring them in for the wintertime. Remember, lilies you don't have to bring in, but if you put them in a pot, you do need to bring them indoors. But a lot of people like putting, like, these tiny Paddy and tiny Epic, which is basically a burgundy color of a tiny Paddy. It's a burgundy color with a white tips to it.
Okay.
And the tiny Epic is more of a, how would you say it? It's almost like a type of a rusty burgundy with a sort of a yellow tips to them.
That's cool.
And they just a showstopper right in a pot. And so, because they're short and they do really well. Or if you want to plant them in the garden where you want to put them in front of some other plants, that works very well.
Perfect. And there's like I got to cut you off here because Gene is waiting for us, joining us on the hold bar here. So we'll get to Gene in Regina. Sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick? Pardon?
It's a lovely day.
Yeah.
Yes.
When is the best time to trim a sugar maple and a royalty crab apple?
Royalty crab apple, you can trim. Now is a perfect time. Between now and the first week of April is the best time to prune them as textbook. But your sugar maple, you want to wait till July, between July and September 30th. Okay, July 1st and September 30th. If you prune your sugar maple now,
it's going to bleed sap.
Right now in Quebec and everywhere else, they're tapping the sugar maples right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were to cut a branch right now, they're going to bleed like crazy. So the burgeoning maples, don't prune until starting around July the 1st, you can start pruning them.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Looking forward to hearing the rest of the program.
Thanks, Gene.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you have a question for Rick, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255 or send us a text at the exact same number, Let's get back into bulbs. What are some other popular options that people can get planting right about now?
Dahlias. I mean, dahlias are beautiful. The flowers themselves are about the size of a dinner plate. Okay. They're just huge. You can put them into pots. You can put them into the ground. Just got to remember, you have to lift these and bring them in for the wintertime because they're not hardy where the lilies are. Okay. Mm-hmm. So these you want to put in. You have some beautiful red ones. You got Marmolata, which is basically a red and white, almost like a dappled, you know, all different colors.
Okay.
Right in the petals. And then they got the Rosella, which is a pink with just a little bit lighter yellows where they open up and the new bloom opens up to a bit of a yellow. And there's probably 50 different types of dahlias out there. So they're a beautiful plant everybody loves putting in. And also everybody knows the cannas. The canna lilies, there's all different colors. You got yellows, you got reds, you got blacks, you got pinks, you got pinks, some purples, and with a white rim to them. And the cannas do really well, and you can even put the cannas around a pond area. They do really well.
Okay.
Or you can put them into a pot. And the cannas, which are the beautiful big flowers you'll see a lot of people put into pots or right in the garden, and those come in reds, they come in almost apricot colors. They come in speckled apricot and yellow. There's a whole bunch of different varieties in the cannas, and they stand up nice and tall, and they give you a whole bunch of color all through the summer. And so that's a good time to get to start. Another one is ranunculus. Everybody will ask for ranunculus in this later on in the spring. He said, "Well, you got to get the bulb." And so ranunculus, they're I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like a little buttercup type of flower, really tight when they first open up, but they're really, really tight flower, almost in layers. And then they open up a little bit bigger, and there's red, there's oranges, and there's probably the most popular one is just a rainbow mix, and it's all different colors. And
so then, you can definitely get a really interesting looking variety going.
Oh yeah, in the bulbs, and then you can have them year after year. You've got most of these the bulbs you have to lift.
Okay.
Elephant ears is another one you want to get started right now. That's a great big leaf. It's like almost like a How would I expect? Like a rhubarb leaf.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah.
It's a giant. It's a big bulb, and then you can plant it every year as well. And great big leaf gives great accents. Perfect in a pot. Like just amazing. Give you more of a tropical feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all different types. And even anemone is another one too. Everybody knows the white anemone, which grows fairly natural here and spreads pretty good. But this one here is a double mix where it has all different. It has pinks and oranges and purples and whites and
a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, and they give you great color during the summertime as well. So now it's time for bulbs. Bulbs is if you'll see them all around, and then for later on planting, all your gladiola bulbs are out as well now too. Now you don't want to pre-start those now because they'll be pretty big. You can plant those straight out into a pot or into the garden a little bit later on. But if you want some of the specialty varieties, then you want to get those right about now and hang on to them and plant them outside basically around the 10th of May.
Perfect. So, I'm going to have to cut you off again. Yep. I just keep doing it.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then I see we have a few texts that are just starting to come in now, so we'll get to that after our break. If you have questions for Rick, you can give us a call or a text at 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. This is Garden Talk. I'm Erin McNutt, joined as always by Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. You can give us a call or text with any of your gardening questions at 1-877-332-8255. Rick, I think we inspired some people just before we went to break because we've got a couple text messages just kind of starting to flow in. So we might do a bit of a rapid fire before we go to our news break here.
Here we go.
We have Ruth in Nipawin. Asking, when do I start fertilizing my pansies and petunias? They've been up for about a week.
Yeah, you want to be careful what kind of fertilizer you use. I would use an organic fertilizer for indoors.
Okay.
Because if you use something with a high phosphorus, like a lot of people when starting with plants want to use something like a 10-52-10, or they might have a 15-30-15,
mm-hmm.
that second number, which is phosphorus, will make the plants bolt. the bolt. They'll just start stretching.
Oh.
And you don't want that. You want them nice and compact and tight in the pot for right now until you're ready to plant out.
Mm-hmm.
So use this in organic fertilizer. That would be perfect. It just gives all the micronutrients you need, because in that soilless mix, you don't have a lot of those nutrients in there, just peat moss and some perlite and vermiculite and those kind of things. So getting an organic fertilizer is perfect, and then gives it all it needs, and without the bolting that you need, because you want them to stay sort of tight. And then make sure you use a little fan so that those plants do the calisthenics. They're moving around a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and that'll keep them from stretching and keep them more sturdy as well.
All right, perfect. We have a question from Pat in Saskatoon. Just wondering when I should start my begonias, dahlias, and sweet peas.
Yeah, exactly. Sweet peas, a little bit early for sweet peas yet.
Okay.
They'll bolt like crazy. I would suggest starting your sweet peas probably around the 15th of April, 10th of April, in that range. That'll be lots. But the begonias, if you're starting from bulbs or seeds, you need to get those started as soon as possible. And what was the other one again?
We had begonias, dahlias, and sweet peas.
Yep. And dahlias, now actually perfect time for dahlias. We just talked about them this morning. Here now is a great time. You got lots of time for the dahlias. You can put them in the next couple weeks yet. But the biggest one, they said, is the begonias. You need to get those started as soon as possible if you're going to start those from a bulb or from seed.
A good project for this afternoon, probably.
Yep, absolutely.
We have a question from Lane in Regina. Is there a cedar or something similar that I can plant next to the house where the roots won't cause foundation issues? This one is a big one with trees.
Yeah, most of the cedars will do pretty good. They don't have a big stick root system. They have a very fine root system, so they're pretty good. Just remember, Aaron, people have to remember planting, there's all different types of cedars.
Mm-hmm.
Like even a globe cedar, there's one that grows like Daneker, only 2x2, or a little giant cedar, which grows 3x3, or you got the Woodwardy, which is 6x6 in a ball, okay?
Okay.
Or you have Holmstrup, which is only 4 feet wide and grows about 10 feet high. Skybound and Brandon, they're about 20 feet tall and about 6 feet wide. So planting the right variety of cedar for the right place is the most important. All of them will be fine for the area, because if you plant, let's say, a techni cedar, which will get about 20 feet tall and about 12 feet wide, you wouldn't want to put up against the foundation because it's too big of a plant.
Yeah, definitely need to have maybe the measurements handy when you go to check out the different varieties.
And check out that tag and do some research, because it looks cute when you buy it in a little tiny pot,
you know,
at your Home Depot or wherever you're going to pick it up, because you're walking around and you just see it and it's an impulse thing.
Yep.
But check out that tag and make sure you know how big it's going to grow first.
You don't want surprises with trees, I don't think.
No, nope, absolutely not.
We have a question about snow. Do I have to worry yet, or at all, about all the snow melting down into the ground on the south side of my pine trees, or should I be shoveling it away? There is an 8-foot root ball in that area.
Yeah, no. Snow melting slowly is perfect for the plants. The only thing you're going to watch is right tight up against the house. If you've got a lot of snow,
mm-hmm.
You may want to shovel some of it away just so that you don't get issues in your basement. But leave a couple inches of snow. Right now, like on the south side of my house, it's bare. It's gone. But the problem is if I have some perennials along there or some hydrangeas or plants that are a little more tender, it's still the 15th of March or 14th of March today.
Mm-hmm.
We still can get some weather.
Yeah.
And we still can get some minus 17 to minus 20. So leaving a skip of snow about 1 or 2 inches, that's all it needs for that insulation. That's enough to protect the plants but not cause a problem with your, with moisture in the basement. But out in the yard, let it melt slowly and let it go into the plant. It'll love it. The only time you have to watch for is you got an acreage or, someplace where the water pools.
Yes.
If it pools for more than 2 weeks, then you need to pump it out and get it out, okay?
All right.
If it's there for 2 weeks, the plant will be fine and it'll be no issues for the roots at all.
Perfect. We have a call waiting on the line here from Elsa in Regina. How are you today?
Oh, fine, thank you.
Good. What's your question for Rick?
I have two questions. The first one is, when can I prune my mountain ash?
Oh, right now. Perfect.
Right now?
This time of the year. Anytime now, between now and the 7th of April.
Okay.
It's actually textbook time for mountain ash to prune them.
Oh, great. And the other question is, when do we band the trees?
The banding trees, you want to have banded basically before you know, in the spring, mm-hmm. You down them right about now, and then you want to take them off by June the 1st, okay?
Okay.
Because if you said you're from Regina, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, because where you're bound for is you've got a canker worm problem. That's the biggest issue you're bound for. So okay. If you're in a cycle in your area where you got the canker worms, put it on basically in the spring, but make sure you have to take it off by June the 1st, okay?
Okay.
For the spring one. Most of the canker worms go up in the fall, mm-hmm. so it's important to have them on by September the 1st, and then you can leave them on if you want right through the wintertime, and then take them off by, you know, June the 1st for sure, because otherwise you get some, you know, it starts getting too much moisture underneath all your insulation and your banding, mm-hmm. and that's not good for the bark.
Okay. All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Elsa.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we have another call on the line here. We only have about 3 minutes here before we have to go to news, so we'll have to be fairly quick here. But we have Sandra in Moose Jaw. Sandra, what's your question for Rick?
Yes, I have an ornamental crab tree in my backyard. And last fall when we had that really bad, bad wind, it blew the apples off. And like they were mushy, I guess, because I've got sort of applesauce splats all over the back of my house and my cement patio, and I've got like mushed apples all over my lawn too, and it's absolutely horrible. So I was hoping to take that out. Also, there was a sapsucker in that tree last summer, so I don't know how much longer the tree will last anyway. But I was wondering if you could give me the name of another shade tree that's fast growing that I could plant in its place, because I really need the shade there.
Okay, so if you want a flowering crab still, you could plant a spring snow flowering crab. It has white flowers, green leaves, but
uh-huh.
it's sterile. Sterile, no fruit, okay?
Oh, okay. And what's it called?
A spring snow flowering crab.
Spring snow,
yep.
Okay.
Lots and lots and lots of white flowers in the spring.
Okay.
And no fruit. So if you want the same size of tree, that uh-huh. works really well. Or otherwise, you can use something like in the same size of tree. You could also use called a Klondike Amur cherry, and that's a nice tree too with a bronze, a copper looking bark. So it gives a good color contrast.
Oh, okay.
To the bark. And then that one there will be really about the right size for what you want as well.
Okay, so these are quite fast growing, are they?
Yep, both of them are fast growing. And they'll do very well, and they're about the same size as your flowering crab.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sandra. All right, it looks like we have one more question here that we'll get to. We'll be real quick. It's Ian on the line from Saskatoon. Sounds like I might have misinterpreted the text here that you sent us a little bit earlier. What were you hoping to get Rick to answer for you?
Okay, yeah, what you said, shoveling snow away from the earth.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of caliper pine trees put in, you know, 16 to 20 footers, and all the snow on the south side of those trees has all melted, so it's down to the ground.
Oh, I see.
So what I'm wondering is if I should be shoveling or pushing snow into those areas to try and stop the ground from thawing or warming up too fast already.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The biggest thing you got to watch for is this time of the year for those evergreens is actually the snow on the ground and reflection of the sun off the snow and onto the branches. Okay, so if the ground is showing, that they'll be fine, no problem with that. But if on the south side or on the east or west side, if the sun is reflecting off, even if you can throw some dirt or something like that on top of the snow to blacken it. Then, or you can put some snow on the south side and blacken the snow as well, so you don't get the reflection and you don't get the needles turning purple or brown color, okay? But if it's bare around the spruce trees, that won't hurt them at all. They'll be fine.
Okay. Would straw work?
Straw would work too. Yes, absolutely. But yeah, straw will work. Now, the only thing you got to watch for straw is with the spruce trees, you won't have any problem. But let's say it was a fruit tree, then the straw attracts mice, and you don't want mice near your fruit trees because they'll chew on the bark. Okay, but they won't bother the spruce tree.
Okay, because we do have some fruit trees too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks,
okay.
Ian.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for news, then we'll be back with Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. This is Garden Talk. I'm Erin McNutt, joined as always by Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. And if you have a question for Rick, you can give us a call or a text. The number is 1-877-332-8255. All one number. You can call us there, text us there, whatever works for you. And we are getting a lot of texts over the last little bit here about lilacs. So we figured instead of answering the texts, we would just kind of talk about it a little bit on air so that hopefully we could answer everyone's question. The big one that we've been seeing is, when is the best time to trim lilacs?
Trimming lilacs, if you're just doing a light pruning, prune them after they finish blooming. Lilacs set their buds in the fall, so it's important if you trim them in the fall or in early spring, you're going to lose all your blooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a time that you do want to prune them right now. Let's say you have a royalty lilac, and it's 12 by 12, and it's just way too big for the spot, and you need to bring it, cut it down in half, let's say. And so you do a major pruning. You want to do it when it's dormant, and then it's going to be 2 to 3 years before you'll get a full flush of blooms again.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's when you want to prune them right now, if you want to do a major pruning. But any light pruning, like all your bloom meringue lilacs and your miniature lilacs, do them right after they finish blooming. And then, because in the spring they put on just a huge show that you just don't want to lose all that. So prune them right after they finish. Then fertilize the plants. Then you get lots of new growth. And then on that new growth, next year you'll get a whole bunch of blooms again.
All right. So maybe something to schedule down the road here once the blooms are done.
Once the blooms are done. So you're not looking until almost June.
Okay.
That's when you're going to prune them.
All right. We do have, it looks like, a call coming in, but they're not quite ready for us yet, so we'll take one more question from the text line before we jump there. We had some horse manure put on the garden last fall. Because potatoes don't like too much rich soil, will planting them in this soil still do okay? That's Martha in Martinsville.
Yeah, they'll do okay. If you put too much in there, you might get a little problem with potato scab, okay?
Okay.
That's what happens when you have too much compost in your potato patch. So that's the only thing that you might get. You might get some potato scab, but, I mean, you can just peel that off. It's not the end all.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, yeah, it's if you want to put a little bit there, don't put it very much because, potato scab is an issue with too much manure.
All right, perfect. We have Terry in Crystal Springs on the line. Terry, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Rick today?
I've got a question on hedging. Cotton Easter.
Yep.
And I planted about 10 over the last 3 or 4 years, and they're pretty slow. I was wondering if there's anything I can do to make them grow faster. They look okay.
Yeah, just fertilize. Fertilize them every 3 weeks starting May 10th and then stop around July the 15th, okay? And each plant, how big are they right now, the plants?
I've got some that are about 3 foot and some that are only 1 foot.
Okay, so basically, go about 2 liters of water mixed with your fertilizer, and if you use something like a 30-10-10 or 20-20-20, you'll get lots of growth if you do that every 3 weeks in about 2 liters of water for each plant. Okay? And if you do that from, like I said, May the 10th and quit around July the 15th, you'll get lots of growth.
And the second fertilizer you said was 20-20-20?
Yeah, or 30-10-10, either one of them.
Okay, so that doesn't make 100%. What's the rest of it?
Oh, you won't need 100% of it because it'll be too strong. So that will give you lots of nutrients for those plants to just take right off. Like you'll be pruning them this summer if you give them that kind of, if you give them 2 liters every 3 weeks.
2 liters every 3 weeks. Okay,
yep.
I'll do that. I was just confused there because you would think that the three numbers would add up to 100.
Yeah, well, no, there's I don't know what, it's just a percentage of nitrogen.
Right.
So it goes by how many pounds per acres if you talk about the farmers. But anyways, that's what you want. So it's phosphorus, potassium, and phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen. So those are the ones you want with those type of numbers, like 30-10-10 or 20-20-20. You'll get all the growth you'd want. In fact, you'll be pruning them this summer.
I appreciate your help.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. Bye now.
All right, we have Joe on the line in Prince Albert. Joe, what's your question for Rick today?
Hi, guys. I bought a house here not long ago, and I haven't seen my backyard yet, but the sun's slowly revealing a little bit every day. I understand that I have a gravel parking pad at the back that I would like to put grass in.
Yes.
And wanting to know, should I remove the gravel, or can I lay down sod and plant right over top, or turf?
You can plant right over top if you want to, but then you're going to keep it nice and green. You're going to have to be constantly fertilizing it, okay? Otherwise, it's going to look different than the rest of the grass in the yard because it just won't knock the nutrients there. So the best thing to do is either put soil over top of that gravel that's there, or remove some of the gravel and put some topsoil in, and you'll have way less issues. You won't have to water, because with the gravel, you have to water more, obviously. And yeah. you won't have the nice green color from having the soil there that the plant can uptake its nutrients. Okay, so if you want a really nice lawn, the best thing to do is take some of that gravel out, and then put topsoil back into its place.
Planting versus sod, pros cons.
Seeding a lawn takes a little bit longer, but because you obviously, once the soil warms up, it takes 7 days to germinate, and then it needs to fill in after that. Sod is kind of instant, and yeah. Seed is less expensive than using sod, but the preparation is all the same. Whether you're seed or sod, your soil prep and getting everything nice and level and having the right type of topsoil there is all the same. It's just a matter of two things. Number one is cost, and if you're not worried about if it takes a bit longer to fill in, because if it's just an area in the back, you can seed it, and it doesn't really matter. You can just let it fill in. You have to water just about the same amount. So it's just a preference, really.
Okay. And if I am seeding, I'm sure that there's recommended fertilizers for seeds as opposed to established grass.
Yeah, there's actually a grass starting fertilizer, which is a higher second number, a higher phosphorus number. So that you can start when you first start up your seed. You can actually put your fertilizer in the same time you do your seeding, and then that'll get a good start on the lawn. And then after that, you can just go to your regular lawn fertilizers.
Okay, and I know you've often spoke about using bone meal for weed control. Do you wait until your lawn is established before you start using that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not bone meal. It's called corn gluten.
Oh, sorry, corn gluten. Yes.
Yeah, and if you're gonna seed, you don't want to use corn gluten because it'll stop the seeds from germinating. It'll kill the grass seed as well. Okay.
Gotcha.
Once your grass seed is germinated and established, then you can put some corn gluten over top of it to keep the other weeds down.
Okay, and sorry for keeping you, but one last thing. If I say by the next summer my grass is fairly established and I'm using the corn gluten, do I do that at a spring or a fall application?
You can do both. You can do one in the spring, one in the fall if you wish, because it's a fertilizer as well, okay?
Okay.
So you could do them both, but one fertilizing will last you the whole season, okay, with the corn gluten. It'll help keep the weeds down. You just have to put it down as recommended. If you put it down light, it's not going to work. You have to put it down at least what it says on the packaging and or heavier, but not lighter. It doesn't work.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. All right, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll get to Tom, Grant, and Violet on the line. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt, joined by Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. We are going to be very busy. Let's just jump in. Violet's been waiting quite a while. Violet, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for waiting for us.
I have Creeping Charlie in my garden, and it's going through the fruit trees, too, and chickweed, too. But Creeping Charlie is the main culprit. How do I get rid of it?
In the garden, pick it.
In the garden, yes.
In the garden,
it came
pick
through
it.
The fence.
Yeah,
under the fence.
Yeah, just pick it, and because in the realm of the fruit trees and that kind of stuff, you can use corn gluten. Okay, because the Creeping Charlie has a zillion seeds. Same as chickweed.
Corn broom.
corn gluten. But do not use it in the garden, okay? Because
don't
it'll
use
stop
it in the garden.
Do not use it in the garden because it'll stop your carrot seeds from germinating as well, okay?
Okay.
So in the garden, you just got to hoe it out and get it before it goes into bloom and pick it and put it into a pail or a plastic bag, and then that's the best way in the garden.
Yeah, you can't spray it or anything, eh?
You have to be so careful in the garden because you're going to damage any other plants by a little bit of drift, okay?
Yeah, and so, same with the fruit trees.
Now, fruit trees, like I said, you can use the corn gluten there. That does a really nice job. But you can use the fruit trees, but you cannot use it in the garden where you're going to actually put seed in the garden for your vegetables.
Yeah, so it's just best to pick it up and put it in the garbage.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience with us, Violet.
Pardon?
Thank you for your patience waiting for us.
That's okay. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, we've had Tom on the line for a little bit, too. Tom, thanks for waiting. What's your question for Rick?
Yes, I know, I like his show. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
I know he was talking last year. People were calling in about, the browning on your spruce trees,
Yes.
Of the needles, right?
There's two reasons why that happens. Number one is if it's just on the inside bottom, and sort of the bottom half of the tree, it's probably spider mite, okay? But if the brown is going right to the tips and then sporadically through the whole tree, it's probably what you call needle cast disease. And if it's needle cast disease, the best thing to do is take some pictures and take it into a garden center to make sure, or you sample the branch and get it diagnosed properly, because you need to start spraying around June the 1st with a product called Copper Spray.
Copper?
Copper spray, or Bordeaux is another name for it.
Because I thought that you can't use soap or water or nothing for spider mites?
You can use soap and water for spider mite. You can keep them under control. If you want to really get rid of them, then you have to use a product called Malathion, but you need to wear a mask and gloves and all that kind of stuff to use that. But you can use soap and water for spider mite. It'll suppress them, but it won't get rid of them.
Because didn't you mention something, too, that it could be aphids, too?
It could be a black aphid, but most likely needles are turning brown, it's not the aphids. It's more so the spider mite and or the needle cast, and it could be both.
Okay, so the best thing is just to use Malathion, then?
Yeah, for spider mite. But let's just be careful with it and make sure you got to spray it not until at least June the 1st, okay?
Okay, then.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I liked your show.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye.
All right. We have another patient person waiting on the line here, Grant in Regina. Grant, what's your question for Rick today?
Good morning. I've got a question about starting putting some planting seeds indoors. Bought some kohlrabi and thought that the packages would list when a person could start them rather than just putting them into the garden. And they say nothing. So what's some advice on that?
Yeah, kohlrabi anytime now. Yeah, you can get kohlrabi starting anytime now. Then you'll be ready to go to plant it in the garden, roughly around the middle of May.
Okay.
So in the next couple weeks would be a good time to get it started.
Super. Okay. And one other similar, bought some lemon balm, and on the package it lists it as a perennial. Will that survive our winters, or should it be just considered an annual?
Sometimes if it gets good snow cover,
yep.
Sometimes it will make it through.
Okay. All right. So an adventure in waiting.
Yeah, if it gets bare, like in the wintertime, and it gets down to minus like it did this last winter, then it won't make it, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grant.
Day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, with the few minutes left, we have a couple of texts. Maybe we can do a bit of a rapid fire, Rick.
Sure. Perfect.
All right, we have Joanne in Prince Albert. I have a well-established apple tree, not a crab tree. Not sure what kind. It does have regular-sized apples, they say. It needs to be pruned. When is a good time, and do you have any tips? I'm a first-time pruner.
Okay, so number one, don't be afraid.
That's my issue.
that's the biggest issue. Don't be afraid. Number two is anytime in March or the first week of April is best. You can also prune in October, November. You want to thin the tree a little bit. Try not to pollard, which means cut the top off. Thin it out instead, and make sure any crossing branches, take those, thin those, by thinning them out, you can take any crossing branches that are rubbing and touching each other. You can thin them out and take any water spouts, any branches that are coming out the side of the trunk and going up through the tree. And then the last thing, just shape it so that, you know, maybe one of these branches that are poking in the eye every time you're mowing the grass close by.
Yep.
You can actually get, you know, a little angry and trim one of those off as well.
All right. We have Rhianne in Edenwald. How and when should a person be propagating poplar or silver maple trees?
Okay, poplars, if you want to start them from what I call hardwood cuttings, now is the time you want to do it, about pencil size to about the thickness of your finger, about 6 inches long. Take some cuttings right about now and then put them in the fridge. And then later on but basically at the end of May, you can stick them into the ground and they'll root all by themselves. So you want to do that. What was the other one? It was poplar and willow.
Silver maple trees.
Silver maples only go by seed. You're not going to get it to grow by a cutting.
Oh, okay.
So you need to grow those from seed, and so you need to collect the seed and grow them that way.
All right, and that pretty much takes us to the end of the show today, a busy one, which is always great, especially this time of year. We're starting to, I think, really get into gardening mode for the most part in Saskatchewan.
Absolutely. With the weather changing and how warm it's getting out of the ground, like some of the callers said, they're starting to see their yard pop out in front of their eyes. And now is the time to get excited and about really planning. And especially if you want seeds this year, make sure you get your seeds now. Even if you're not going to plant them right into the garden until the middle of May, decide what you want to plant and get the seeds right now, because there will be a shortage of it this year.
Now is the time. You've been listening to Garden Talk. Thank you for joining us again on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.